What's up, fam? Welcome to the One Piece Manga Bros podcast. Syrup Village, the third arc, chapters 21 to 42, I believe.
Good job.
I got it. I nailed it. We have special guest, our second guest so far, Tekking 101. What's up, dude?
Not much. Thanks for having me on. Sounds like this should be a good time, yeah.
You've definitely been the highest, like, recommended person for the podcast, so it's actually been really dope to get you on this early in.
No problem, man. Thanks for hitting me up. Yeah, you messaged me, and it took me, like, 2 weeks, but I remembered. I was like, oh, yeah, there's that guy that wants me to be on his podcast. I should probably get back to him. So I'm very scattershotted. It's just me doing all this. But, yeah, I need a secretary or something.
I know.
I was going to say, your power precedes you, because I've heard of you so much without knowing of what you like. You're like the king of, like, YouTube One Piece-ness.
Aw, thank you. Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll just don the crown on you right now.
Mm-hmm. So for anybody that's new, if you joined the podcast and you've never been here before, let me give you the rundown so you have a general idea what we're going. We're doing this bi-weekly. We're going arc by arc. I've been reacting to One Piece since episode one. Boom has as well. Sione is kind of our veteran who started watching it back during the Four Kids era. Oh. Same with Tekking, and then he took like a 10-year hiatus. Sometime during a specific arc that we're not going to mention because Boom isn't there yet. So don't worry if you're.
I ruin everything.
It's fine. You just got to bang out like 150 episodes by next, you know, the 2 weeks. It's fine.
I'm trying.
So we don't worry if you're reading with us for the first time, you're here for Syrup Village. We're not going to spoil you for the first half. We will go into more spoiler territory where we talk about future arcs. We'll be comparing anime and manga differences and various different things like that. But don't worry, once we get to the point where we will spoil things, we'll make it clear what arc we are going up to, and you guys won't have to worry about getting spoiled. So kicking it off with Syrup Village, opening up with Gaimon's magical animal kingdom, and I love that arc so much, little mini arc, but yeah. I also, like, I always forget about it until I see a picture of him. I don't know about you guys, right. But he always slips my mind.
He doesn't slip my mind, but his name does constantly. Like, he's just bro dude in chest, and that is essentially the extent of my knowledge.
He's a running gag with me where I'll include him a lot. Like, oh, just, yeah, Gaimon's going to come back. That's going to be the big moment in the story.
I feel like the one for some. It reminded me of a Chia Pet in a way.
Yes.
It was literally like a treasure chest Chia Pet.
Oh, that's true.
And One Piece came out in the 90s, so Chia Pets were really big. I don't know how big they were in Japan, but that might actually be the reference now that I think about it.
That would be cool.
Oh, wow. Yeah, Oda just got a Chia Pet, and he was like, oh.
Oh my god, I got this.
I shall name him Gaimon.
Ideas for days. So
absolutely.
Did you guys pick up? So this is obviously, it was a bit of a longer one. It was like a 30-page arc. And this was one of the bigger anime manga changes in this arc, where Gaimon in the manga seems to happen at the start of Syrup Village, and it's just Nami and Luffy. But in the anime, it's at the end of Syrup Village, and they're all there.
Yeah. And I think there was even like in the original, in the manga, Zoro wasn't even on the island. He was asleep in the boat the entire time. And in the anime, they have Usopp, Zoro, Nami, Luffy, everybody.
Yeah. Merry the whole nine yards. Mm.
That's why it felt so different.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Well, this is why I compile these things, baby.
That's been my experience with the manga so far, right? Where everything seems like so much more streamlined, even though like the information is just as like full. Mm-hmm. It just seems like you get to that point so much quicker. And I know, like, the idea of filler and having to pad out time for a show and things like that. But, yeah, like, the info just it seems to come at you a lot faster, so they don't really have to, like, add those little extra things.
It's a little weird in the beginning of the One Piece anime where they jumble stuff around, like just the first episode, like the Shanks flashback is the whole first chapter, and they don't do that until, like, episode 5 in the anime. Mm-hmm. It's just, yeah.
Yeah, I always stand by this, that chapter one is better than episode one of One Piece.
Yes.
Even though I was hooked from episode one, like, it's just handled so much better, I feel like. I also liked in this arc that they're really hammering home in this arc of, like, how terrifying the Grand Line is, right? Like, this guy's a pirate. Mm. He spent his whole life being a pirate. He's never met a Devil Fruit user. He's, like, baffled by the idea of Devil Fruits, and it shows, like, the scarcity in the East Blue, you know, everything like that. You have Luffy, like, kind of showing the type of person he is, lying to Gaimon for the first time, which, you know, just to make him not sad, which is kind of a running thing throughout the series. And it even gets hinted at later on in the arc, which is, I think, one of the big reasons why Luffy gravitated towards Usopp.
It's a thing that I think Oda like wants to do before we get to the Grand Line is to establish like what does treasure really mean to different people.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so that's the whole message of this one chapter arc where it's like, okay, Gaimon, it turns out that he doesn't have the treasure that he was trying to get for like I can't remember how many years it was, but it was a long time. And but at the end of the day, he discovered like, oh, it's the animals of the island. That's really my treasure. Right. And that like speaks to the Straw Hats and the readers of like what it really means. Like what are you doing to be a pirate? It, you know,
mm-hmm.
That's not foreshadowing like, for the One Piece, is it?
Everything is foreshadowing.
Everything is foreshadowing for the One Piece.
Yeah, it's dude. Oda, it's just Chekhov's gun all the way through. Mm-hmm. Like everything is going to be used at some point. That's like
that's
you can look
strategy.
At a rock on the ground and it's just wait.
Yep, throw an entire armory of Chekhov's guns and they won't be able to guess which one is the actual One Piece. There you go.
It's I will say though, like reading this, it I enjoyed the read through way more than when I watched the anime, and not really because of like not because of just the way they compacted it or whatever, or the pacing. Mm-hmm. It was more just the small little details, like Zoro showing off his love for Grog, like just wouldn't stop talking about it. Nami hammering home the treasure thing, like all of Usopp's things. Like I Usopp really showed like in this arc, yes, I am kind of a pussy, but you know, when it comes to protecting other people, like I am gonna stand up and I will do what I need to do.
I feel like he's not as much of a bitch in the manga as he is in the anime though, like because dude, like I think it's just the way it's drawn a lot of times.
I wasn't
the
only one that got that feeling then too.
Yeah, way tougher in the manga. Mm-hmm. Also, I want to go back to the island real quick. What if I just felt like this weird sense of irony of like what if the One Piece is there? Like there's no treasure there whatsoever except
it's in
the
East Blue. It's been in the East Blue all along.
You know, and so
the only thing I'll say about that is there's two things. Number one is Oda did say in an interview, like, the One Piece isn't just going to be like, it was the journey the whole time. And he's it's not going to be anything like that. Mm. And also, that is basically the premise of the first One Piece movie is like, it was friendship the whole time. You know, that. So if you want that story, go watch the first One Piece movie. That's where that is. Yeah. Yeah.
And that'll stay there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But no, I mean, the way he drew Usopp in these panels, like it did not feel like a one-to-one comparison to the anime because it just like especially when he absolutely lays out Cloudor, and it's just like I it's such a different feel with it being drawn in black and white as opposed to it being in color. Did you switch to black and white by the way?
I wanted to talk about that. So I finally stopped reading it in color and I just started reading the volumes that I have, and I'll tell you right now, I'm so happy I did. You guys were 100% right. I don't know how, but the black and white somehow just it felt like more. I had more emotion. I don't even really know how to explain it.
Shadowing,
like,
dude.
Yeah, there's there's shadowing, but there's like less. There's no color, so it's like I don't know, more impact or something. Yeah. Like your brain focuses on different things because there's only black and white. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I loved that. Obviously, the SBSs. I wrote them down, so kind of as we get down, we'll kind of hit on those. And I have to say, like, if you're listening to this podcast, maybe you're not reading along, maybe you've only watched the anime, even if you don't want to, like, reread 1,000 chapters, like, I understand not everybody has the time, I cannot recommend enough to just go through and read the SBSs and the small little details. It is so glorious. Like, seeing evil Zoro, who was supposed to be on Buggy's crew.
Buggy's crew.
Amazing. I loved that.
In a parallel world. I remember the one art of Nami. She had like a giant battle axe as her weapon was one of the sketch art. It was great.
I think my favorite all those were someone's asking for Nami's measurements and he was like, I'll ask her.
Yeah,
and there was
like
a literal like back and forth conversation with him and Nami.
Dude, he just did one of those in SBS 102 like later on. It's so funny. He keeps doing that stuff. Yeah.
I love it.
He gives the measurements later, by the way.
Glorious.
Yeah.
It's like you get to like, I think I like it because you get to see, and it's the same reason I like Bleach when I read through that, is like you kind of get a little taste of like the author's humor outside of just their writing. Like you kind of learn a little bit about them, and I really liked that, like the
person, not the metaphor.
Exactly.
I have so much more respect for any mangaka that does that. Even like you're wearing a Black Clover hat, Tabata I think does that as well, like something. I think he does like extra stuff like that sometimes too, so
there's so many
series
I
have like extra work and stuff in there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I also wanted to address, and like, you know, we're not going to hit on this too much until the later part because it's coming next week. Don't worry. But I don't know if you guys noticed this. Zoro seems generally way happier and has way more of a sense of humor in these earlier parts of the arc compared to later after what happens in the next arc. And I kind of, it's not like that it's jarring because it's still Zoro, but it's so crazy to like see how I feel like he acts so different. And I don't know if it's an anime manga thing that I'm noticing more or if it is just like this is before he was, you know what?
Yeah.
I see that almost as like the naivety of youth and like what they haven't experienced yet, right? Yeah. Like he you know, what happens in the next arc is the, I mean, it even happened like when we watched the anime, right? Like there's that clarification of like, oh, that's what power is, right?
Yep.
So, you know, right now he doesn't get to know that. He just gets to enjoy his ignorance.
Yeah, I think like the whole, like Zoro's thing is like, look, I think he's 19 years old. He's been a bounty hunter for a few years. He's just probably thinking like, oh, these are just little adventures I get into. No big deal. He's not expecting what's going to happen next yet. Yeah. He thinks that's going to be further down the line. And then boom, it just happens.
I feel like almost none of them really feel that except for Luffy. Like as ridiculous as Luffy is and he just kind of throws himself into moments, I feel like maybe it's because he's experienced the stuff with Shanks.
Well, he had Shanks. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I feel like it very much is just like they do seem like they're just on this fun little pirate adventure, and it feels more like that than it does in the future. Like all of the little, I don't know if you guys noticed this, I keep forgetting their name because I didn't really enjoy them as villains, but like the Kuro pirates, or I keep forgetting their name of them.
Okay, so well, the Black Cat Pirates. Shaman Bucci, Django.
They leaned into the Yar AI like pirate, like they really leaned into it this arc.
Yeah.
Like they really felt like some pirates, and I have to say, the main guy, Captain Kuro, he seemed more terrifying in the manga, which I know we addressed last time in with Buggy, but it really does. And I don't know if it's the black and white or the drawings or whatever, but the manga does make the villain seem darker to me.
I think it's that thing too, because it does the whole like Oscar Wilde thing with his writing where it like it adds more to the to your own imagination.
Yeah, I think that's really what it is. It's your imagination. Like,
you know, the anime is kind of spelling it out for you what's going on for the simple fact. But then like, you know, like when he slashes Mary, right? It's one of those things where it's like it doesn't do like a full slash. There's like a flash. All of a sudden Mary's on the ground with a little bit of blood beside of him. And so it's kind of left to your interpretation of like damn, he really got that dude.
It makes me also wonder if like early on if they wanted to aim the anime more toward like a younger audience, which is maybe the reason why 4Kids thought it would be a good idea to pick it up, because like you said, like Usopp is way more like for comedic effect in the anime than he is in the manga. So I don't know if they were trying to like, you know, alter the tone a bit, but you could definitely tell in these earlier arcs.
It's toned down. It definitely changes as the series progresses.
Oh yeah,
but it definitely seems a bit more lighthearted when I watched it in the anime compared to, I feel like the manga does really set the tone of like, this gonna be dark, you know. we haven't gotten that dark yet, but it's gonna be dark. Just get ready.
I will say the villain Django, the dude that walks backwards. Okay,
I love him.
That has stuck with me for I don't know how many years.
Dude, do you remember in the 4Kids stuff, they had this weird music playing when he was like, dude, it's like dun 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 dun, and I'm like, oh, you gotta look it up. I have all the 4Kids episodes, of course. But it works for some reason. Yeah. Like Michael Jackson doing the moonwalk. That's what he's based off of. So
yeah.
And it just stuck with me all these years. Like right when I saw him, I was like, I know he's coming. I was like, where's my boy? I was like, I know I've seen him before. And and then was that scene with him and the kids I don't think that was actually in the show, right? Because I don't ever remember.
Which one?
In the scene with the kids with Kaya when she signs over the document.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was there.
Yeah, it
was.
The changes based like in the early aspect was in the manga when Usopp meets Luffy, Nami, and Zoro on the beach, they just have like the small talk. In the anime, Usopp shoots at them. and they have like a much longer one. Yeah. And then they just, for some weird reason, they changed where Kaya's room is, like in the manga.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, it was the first floor. Yeah.
Yeah. But other than that,
that's
like,
it.
There wasn't.
I don't ever remember that. Like, that whole scene, like with him in the forest. Cause like when I saw, when I was reading that in the manga, I was like, damn. I was like, I remember this guy, but for all the wrong reasons. Fuck.
The biggest thing, too, and this kind of starts a barrage, is Usopp's lies. You know, we got three lies so far, or three things he specified this arc, which was the giant goldfish poop island, the land of the little people, and then the legendary mole.
None of that will come up later, by the way.
Mm-hmm. No, not at all. Absolutely not.
Aw.
Mm-hmm. So just, you know, Oh, you're fine. Don't worry. But yeah, just keep the giant goldfish poop, the land of the little people, and legendary mole in your back pocket. And then also, like, this was a big one, and of course we didn't know he was Captain Kuro at this time, but seeing Usopp get emotional about his father and actually standing up and punching Kuro in the face, I felt like was such an emotional moment. And I don't know about what it was, because I still think that Usopp has the worst backstory out of all the Straw Hats. But like,
really?
Yeah, huh. But okay. I enjoyed it way, way, way more this time. Mostly because of the fact that I started questioning, like, the fact that his dad left the day before what happened with his mom, it makes me wonder, and like, they foreshadow another thing of a medicine that can cure everything, makes me wonder if that's the true reason why Yasop went out to sea, was to try
and save
her. Like,
he went to go
fight.
I kind of had that weird thought as well.
And it's like, you don't know, but I'm like, it just, the timing seems odd, right? She's bedridden, it's getting worse, he leaves, and then she died, and you would assume, I would assume at this point, Yasop is not aware she's dead. I mean, it's not like they have cell phones in this, you know.
Well, right, they kind of do, but
you kind of, we can't, I can't, never mind.
Listen, shit. Linda. He's like, well, you know, maybe you guys will get there at some point. But I don't know what it was. It seemed more emotional. And I don't know if it's just a matter of like knowing more about the Straw Hats and knowing more about Usopp, and if that's what made it more emotional. I think it's
prior knowledge, right? Like you kind of know like what was out there. So like if you're initially watching it for the first time, you're like, a mess in that sounds stupid as shit. Mm-hmm. You know, but you know, as you go along and more things you learn, you're like, yeah, maybe. Like, and then there's that thought, like, yeah, did he actually go out there to try and find that kind of thing? One thing I do want to go back, and we've kind of passed that part, mm-hmm. is like when they initially like introduce themselves to Usopp, and there's just that one panel where you know, Zoro's like, I cut, Luffy's like, I stretch.
Yes, yep.
And
I'm
like,
yeah, nice feel. Yeah.
I loved that. Oh my god, it was like so simplistic, but literally like just kind of like laid it out like so easy.
That's Oda's sense of humor, like boiled down to a T right there. Like that's what, yeah, he loves that type of stuff.
I mean, there was even a good pun with Zoro when he said rats at one point. And I was just like, oh man. Cause like this whole, I don't know if we should really say that, but I mean the whole theme of the arc to me, right? Like besides the crew was, it felt very cat themed.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And some of the puns, like at one point, like it was one of the end of the panels. I think it was like chapter like 31. It was like the last panel, Zoro just saying rats, and I was just like, I get it.
I didn't even touch that, but you picking up on the puns doesn't surprise me. Yeah. He's like our pun master.
Well, that's good, because that's the other thing Oda loves, is there's so many puns in this story. Nice. There's so many damn puns.
This too, and I'm pretty sure this was in the anime, but for some reason it just felt more emotional, was Yasop drunkenly like yelling at Luffy after he's telling the story about Usopp, and he's like, I'll tell it as many times as I want.
Yeah.
I think it's boiled down in the anime where he's just like, I have a son that's about your age. You know, that's pretty much it. Yeah.
Like a throwaway.
You can tell that he cares. And it's like, it's one of those moments where who knows, maybe it'll happen in the future. I'm sure if it does, Tekken knows already. But I would love to see them reunited. I feel like it won't happen for a while, but I can't wait for the inevitable Usopp versus Yasop fight in the future.
I'm torn between like Yasop being a crappy dad and being like, it's sort of like a Gene Gohn situation from Hunter Hunter. You know what I mean? I even did a whole video about who was the worst dad, Gene or Yasop.
Oh, really? And oh, God, like, that's great.
Yeah.
That's still one of my favorite parts of Hunter Hunter where like he's playing the tape or whatever. And he was like, I don't want to see you. He's like, Jesus.
But it's like, at the end of the day, it's kind of like that with like Usopp where he's like, my dad went out to sea to be a pirate. So being a pirate must be great if he abandoned me.
Yeah.
So yeah, and he hasn't been back to the village since to even check on him in like years. So it's like, Yasop, man, you can stop by to say hi every once in a while. Mm-hmm. Oh man.
And we also kind of just get a taste, like I said, you know, you have Zoro showing his personality of how much he loves Grog and his absolutely horrid sense of direction. You know, you have Nami's obsession with treasure, the point of throwing. Like, you know, when they're trying to storm and they slick the wrong side of the island, climbing over Zoro and being like, you're probably the one that can beat them, but treasure, I'm going.
Yeah, right, yeah.
I want to make a point there, okay? All right? So and I found this, like, very ironically funny, right? Mm-hmm. Who's the one that actually got lost in this arc?
Luffy and Zoro.
Oh, yeah, Luffy.
He went to the wrong side of the island. Zoro got stuck.
You're right. He did. Zoro did make it to the other end of the island.
I found that so hilariously ironic. I was like, wow.
I do like that he kidnapped Usopp.
You
saved them, but I don't know how to get there. So you're my GPS right now.
Yeah.
I do love that conversation where he was like, you didn't point where north was.
Yeah, they actually came back and like started yelling at each other.
I remember reading that part, though, and it's like, okay, they learned about this scheme, and it's like, we're going to attack the island. But that's kind of like a reasonable thing where it's like, oh, shit, they meant the other side of the island. We're over here. Like, nobody specified this, so it's like, crap, can you imagine?
I love that he never thought about it. Like, Usopp didn't think, like... Yeah. All right, we blocked one side. Like, even if they were on that side, they could have just gotten the ship and sailed around the island. They could have just went to the other side.
Crap, this town has more than one port. Mm. We didn't think ahead of this.
Mm. And then Luffy not being able to lie. Just be like, we heard everything. We heard your plan.
This arc does a splendid job of starting to showcase Luffy has weaknesses. One of those is he's easily manipulated, such as through hypnotism. So there's that.
But at least we know he can't take fall damage, which is
that too. He's immune to that, thankfully. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I kind of piggybacking off that though. I love the way Oda does like a really good job, and it's almost like the way like good game design, but it's good storytelling. Like back on the island with Gaiman, where he shoots him, and it bounces off of him. Like that still continues to remind you of like, oh yeah, he is bulletproof. Like you can't shoot through him or anything like that. And then like it. You know, further on with his fight with Kuro, where he actually gets cut and stuff like that, it just does a good job of like kind of like laying out without exposition of what, like you said, what his weaknesses are versus what his strengths are.
Absolutely.
Did you guys catch on this one? I think it was in either like right at the start where Oda talks about how he wants to draw on a dog, and like he wants to draw on animals, and it made me wonder if that's a reference to a certain whale that we're gonna meet in the future.
Probably
because I caught that and I was like, you want to draw on animals, and
I started taking everything Oda says as foreshadowing, basically.
Yeah, that's what it seems like. Like there's and it's funny because you have these moments where you read it and you're like, is that foreshadowing or is this just a really ridiculous coincidence?
I assume if the words show up to me that it is going to be used in some way, shape, or form. Like it is.
Those
I take
are,
nothing for granted.
Those are my favorite parts of the story where Oda will say something in SBS as a joke, and then 400 chapters later it happens, and it's like, I see where you're going with that. I love that.
Let's see here. I did like that goes a little back thing to the emoji too.
Yeah.
If his hair grows, his rabbit ears
also
grow.
Oh, yeah, his
grow.
Ears get... Dude. I love that part. The SBS, I'm not going to lie, was like, I didn't expect to like those as much as I thought I was going to, but like it literally, it was what I was looking forward to towards the end. Like every time I started reading, I was like, I hope it's like one of those instead of like a sketch or something like that. I hope it's actual questions again.
My favorite one was the question, why is Luffy so calm? Because he's stupid.
He's stupid. I mean, what do you want?
You just threw it right out there. Okay.
I want to pose a question to you guys real quick.
Yes.
So when Captain Kuro was doing his attack, and he was doing the foot movement attack, mm-hmm. right? Where he was moving faster than what you could perceive.
I think in the 4Kids dub, it was called the cats out of the bag attack or something.
Oh my. Yeah. Is that foreshadowing on some...
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
That's all you got to say.
Oda, I think I know what you're going to say. Oda references that as that is an SBS question way later down the line.
Interesting. Yep. Okay, cool. Good to know. All right. Thanks for answering that.
It's an imperfected version. Go ahead.
Okay, that's exactly what I was thinking. Perfect.
The other thing I liked, and this is probably like my one favorite, is like you were saying, Oda's humor, is the FBS when people were asking about how far his arms can stretch. And he's like, oh, it can stretch 72 gum-gums.
72 gum-gums. He does that for everybody. How far can Buggy, you know, extend his separated body parts? About 400 barabaras, give or take. And like, I love that.
He's like, figure it out yourself. I gave you the idea. Do the research.
He's like, I'm not putting a number. Yeah, I think that's a good idea on his part, because if he puts a number on it, then he has to like a stand from,
pigeonhole himself.
You know, JoJo, he has to stick to it. This is just like as much as I need it to, basically. There you go. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the smartest thing he actually does is literally like be as vague as possible. That way you never have to retcon or
exactly,
you know, change what people already know.
There is a set limit with Luffy. He can't stretch up and grab the moon or whatever, but it's like he plays with it how he needs to.
Mm-hmm. So what is everybody's thoughts on the Meowbon brothers?
They were there.
Yeah. I found it like even on it almost worse the second time going through compared to watching the anime. I just could
probably
not.
my least favorite part. Yeah.
I definitely had a moment where I was like, Christ, I forgot about these guys.
Is it weird that I still heard their voices?
Yeah. No.
Every night. Yep.
Yeah.
Like while reading through, I still had that like weird, like raspy voice for like the tall, skinny dude. Yeah, it was weird. The dude.
The most notable thing about them is I just remember they're the first characters that Zoro used the tiger trap ability on. And I'm just like, oh, that's where that attack was. Yeah, that was we got some dope moves from Zoro. And that was their whole point to the story. Zoro needed someone to fight, guys.
Mm-hmm. the hypnotism of Luffy getting hypnotized and
that was a cool scene.
Ripping the ship off. I loved that.
That
so much.
To me, that was... I loved it, but at the same time, I just...
Okay, so it was like one of the first displays of like super strength in the story. Like now we're like, okay, devil fruits exist, but now Luffy's literally ripping off massive ships or the figurehead. So, you know, first time that might be a lot to take in.
Oh no, I just felt for the ship. I was like thinking about the ship. I was like, bro.
Oh god, yeah.
I was like, you just literally ripped the life away from that ship. Like when you're hypnotized,
it has a name and it's the Benzen Black, sir.
Dude, that was the crazy part. I forgot that Kaya's like keeper guy or whatever, I forget his like,
Mary.
His name is Mary. I totally forgot. Yeah. I guess it's just because I associated Mary with the boat, but I was like, oh,
weird, right?
I forgot about that. It's literally named for some after. Reason.
Such an insignificant character that made the Straw Hat's boat and is like really never heard from again. Mm-hmm. You know, weird.
There was literally a moment I was like 3/4 of the way through this arc, and then I remembered the end of the arc, like what we get at the end. I was like, oh my god! And literally, like it was so hard to read after that because I literally just wanted to skip to the end to just finally see like the payoff of what we get. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The other thing too, these ones was seeing that he knew he wanted to be a manga author since he was 4.
Yes,
kind of wild. Yep. And like that's just because I, you know, you hear about that, right? Like, but when you think about like, oh, elementary school kids, what do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be a firefighter. I want to be the president. I want to be this. And that. Like, it's kind of crazy to think that like he's known since he was 4 years old that this is what he wants to do. And not only did he make it happen, but he made it happen and made one of the most successful, if not the most successful manga of all time.
He was young too when he started One Piece. He was like 17, 18 years old or something. It was around there. Yeah. So I think Toriyama's stuff, like Dragon Ball in the 80s, he was really inspired by that kind of stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I do want to point out though, he said he wanted to be a manga artist because like other jobs seemed like they would be too hard and unfulfilling. Mm-hmm. And this man apparently sleeps like 4 hours a day.
Yeah.
Because he's always working on
his schedule's crazy. I don't know how he does it, dude.
But he's doing what he loves, but hey, I don't know how he functions sometimes.
Because he is a machine, apparently.
He is, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you know, the foreshadowing, him saying there's 100 devil fruits, and explains that, like, you know, there's a specific place that has a lot of them. I thought that was crazy, because it's kind of wild that at this point in time, right, we've seen Buggy's devil fruit, we've seen Luffy's. I'm pretty sure that's it at this point in the story. And if that's the case, that means that he came up with 98 more devil fruits at this point in the story alone that hadn't been shown. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many there is now, but the idea that he knew of 100 of them this early in the story is pretty cool.
I know the number, but I don't know if you want me to tell you.
I don't mind.
I don't know the exact number. It's like 140, 150, something like that.
Okay, so he got most of them done back then. That's kind of crazy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Huh. It's something like that.
That's still a lot, though. Yeah. That's a lot of the different kind of powers to, like, balance and everything. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
And then right after this SBS, this is the moment I've been wanting to talk about the most, because it felt kind of odd. The chakram hitting Luffy's head.
Yes.
Yeah. And but we see later on that he's able to take down entire trees with this thing. Multiple, like, and I'm just like, I just didn't get that, because it's one of the one parts in the arc that felt a little odd, because it's like, well, Luffy, that's supposed to be his weakness, right?
Yeah, it's a slicing weapon. Yeah.
Like, it hit him directly in the back of the head. Like, I don't know. It was just a part that it felt odd and felt
like he has a really thick skull, like the guy in One Punch Man.
Yeah, there you go. It's not about him being made of rubber. Yeah, it's just his skull is so tough. Yeah.
And in the anime, because we went back and watched it because I was doing it on stream, he catches it in his teeth and breaks it.
Which he didn't.
So, like, they actually
sword.
Censored that out of the anime, I guess. I guess getting domed by a chakram was a little too much, maybe. you know, just like someone getting stabbed in the head.
A bit too much there.
Yeah. But no, like, I didn't even think about that, like, where he was, like, cutting down the trees with it, and then, like, you know, Luffy's...
That was the moment. I didn't question it at first. It was later in the arc when he was cutting down the forest that I was like,
yeah,
I hit Luffy in the head.
I didn't
head.
Think about that.
What? Oh, okay.
Are you saying Luffy's head is not as strong as a tree? I mean, this is One Piece we're talking about.
Yeah, Oda thinks he's as dumb as one, so.
Yeah.
Just that one-to-one comparison.
And then the best part of this entire arc, chapter 35, where we finally get to see Buggy's adventure, which was the part I look forward to the most, was every chapter just seeing, okay, where's Buggy at now?
The first cover series. I love that Oda does that. It builds the world so well to be like, yeah, just because Luffy had the battle with them doesn't mean they're gone forever. They're still around, and here's what they're doing. Yeah.
And I just like to imagine the idea that, like, in the moment that, like, Luffy and the crew they're discovering the new crew member, they're getting a new ship, they're taking down a notorious pirate, they're doing all of these things while Buggy is hiding on an island trying not to get eaten by a bird. And I just loved that.
And then the natives capture him and, like, about to, like, kill him or whatever. Yeah.
Yep. My favorite is when the bird actually stole the, like, fork and knife from him, and he was hiding behind the tree.
I'm eating you now. You're mine. Let's see here. Another thing too was just Usopp. Like, I feel like really shined a lot more than I remembered. Yes. Like the amount of times that he got involved, like where he was just on the ground and stopped Django from attacking Kaya, and just beaten and bloody, like can't even stand, made it a couple feet and collapse, and he's still screaming at them, and it just. I don't know. I loved it. I felt like it was so impactful.
I love that this was the first example of him being like the team tank, right? Mm-hmm. Like he is the one that takes the hits. He is the one that, like, I mean, dude got clubbed with a mallet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
that
just,
was a lot bigger than I remember.
It was.
Like, when I saw it, like it was just like this big freaking stone axe, and like I think. Like when I saw it, it was just like a mace or something, right? Like it wasn't anything like. That looked like.
I don't remember what they used in the anime, especially the four kids. Though.
Yeah,
I'm not sure how they turned
the dude's head open, man. Like it was so long ago, but I saw that and I was like, "Damn!"
They probably changed it to one of those like balloon mallets you get at the fair or whatever in the four kids stuff. I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah.
It just feels like I said the manga in the end, and we've said a dozen times, like just feels like it's visceral actually compared to the anime, right? Like things happen, he gets hit, and you like. It's like actually wince worthy, where you're just like, oh god, yep. like dude actually took a bruising right there.
Now there was a moment where Luffy, like, talking, circling back to the Usopp stuff, where Luffy was talking to Kuro, right, and basically said, like, you would never beat Usopp without having 100 men. Like, to me, that, like, spoke volumes about Luffy's respect that he'd already had for Usopp in just this short moment, like, in the short moments that they've had with this arc. Like, it's
it's
amazing. I feel like that's why what made the Gaimon chapter more impactful is, like, Usopp or Luffy lies to Gaimon because he doesn't want to hurt him, right? And then Luffy finds out that Usopp is doing the exact same thing to Kaya. And there's like a moment where he acknowledges it, and I feel like that's when it clicked for Luffy. He's like, oh, he is a good guy. And I honestly, I feel like that is when Luffy kind of decided, you know, that he was like, oh, okay, you are a good person. You know, I like you. And you're right. It did shine, like, as it progressed. And then the Gum Gum Spear. Does that ever happen again? I don't remember that attack happening. It does?
It does, yeah.
Okay. I put it down. I was like, do we ever see this again? Because I couldn't remember. I feel like I haven't seen him do it in so long.
I'm thinking of one battle in particular he uses it, although it might actually be an anime-only one, but we definitely see it again. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the One Piece pilot. I'm assuming you've seen this tech. Yeah, I didn't even know this existed.
I didn't
one
either
piece
until
defeat
then.
Defeat them, the Gonzok pirates.
Oh, Gonzok. Yeah, that one. Yeah.
I want to go back and check that out, because the drawings that he did for them, they looked really, really cool, and I'm kind of curious to see, like, what the origin.
What is super cool about that is the dude that directed that little short, the first ever animated form of One Piece, is going to be the director. He did a lot of Code Geass stuff, and now he is directing Film Red, the newest One Piece movie that's coming out in August. So it's like coming all the way back around. Yeah, same dude.
Full circle, man.
That's cool. Fun fact about Film Red. Don't worry, no spoilers.
I guess we know a little bit, but not a lot yet.
somebody sent me a link right before we started the podcast. Oda foreshadowed the location that's in Film Red back in, like, episode 400 something.
Mm, okay.
I thought it was kind of cool. It's crazy how you could tell he clearly just comes up with characters and, like, islands, and he's like, I'm gonna save this for something. I don't know what. But it's here.
Yeah.
Or maybe
I don't think it's like some master plan where he's like, I'm definitely going to use this in 5 years on this. Yeah, it's right. Just like, I have these in my back pocket. He has a big folder or something. And it's just like, okay, oh, I'll use this one. All right, cool.
That's what I'm assuming he does, where he's like, oh, that would be fun for that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then going to the point with Kuro. So obviously we have the big fight with Luffy and Kuro. Luffy throws it. Kuro jumps up, lands on Luffy's arm, and kind of, like, runs up to him. And then we get to the flashback, and I don't know if you guys picked up on this. That was Axan Morgan. I'm 90% sure. And I thought that was so cool.
That's why he has the jaw.
He breaks the jaw. He beats him, and then they hypnotize Morgan into thinking that he defeated Kuro, which would explain why he was promoted to a captain and why he was so weak.
Yeah, he
because he didn't earn it.
He was like a lieutenant commander or something there. He gets hypnotized. That's also why I think he was just so much of like a narcissistic douche, where it's just like, I'm awesome, I'm great, because that's basically how they hypnotize him. You are awesome. You're an amazing Marine. You captured Black Cat Kuro, for God's sake.
You ruined this man's career.
So it all ties in.
It's so cool how he does it, though, because I feel like in any other series, it would be like they'd make it a point to, like, name drop it or show, like, it's this guy. But Oda just doesn't do that. He'll just show it. And he'll be like, maybe you'll notice, maybe you won't.
Oda very much feels like the king of if you know, you know.
Pretty much. And
I think
it's
a lot more
so
obvious.
Much.
I think it's a lot more obvious in the flashback in the anime, because I think you do get to see his, like, face completely. It's like it's clearly Morgan there. But yeah.
Mm hmm. Another thing that I wonder if it was foreshadowing, although I feel like it might be too easy, was when Luffy managed to track Kuro and find him even though he was invisible. It made me wonder if it's a reference to something that's going to happen hundreds and hundreds of chapters.
No, it was just luck, dude. Completely luck.
It's one of those things where, you know.
Where is this? Let's see here. The kid's beating Kuro in the face.
Yeah, that was fun.
The small little things involving the kids, them beating him in the face. I think it was Django. They, like, smacked him in the nuts. Yeah, I was like, shove the shovel up his dick.
Dude, you gotta win the fight. You know, you're little kids. This is what you gotta do. There's no rules. It's a freaking street fight. You know,
at this point, it looks like what they do to dictators once they break into the castle. Like it is rough. Mm-hmm.
And honestly, like my favorite moment in the entire arc was Luffy throwing Kuro at them and just being like, "Take your garbage with you."
Yup.
And then he collapses, and Nami catches him like last minute, and like. The small things throughout the arc of Nami seeing like Luffy and being like, "Oh, you're not a shitty pirate," and like
changing of the tide.
Yeah, I thought that emotion, that like moment was just so good. It was so well done.
I found it amusing. There's a moment where Usopp was on the hill and they were looking at the ships that were out in the bay, the pirates, and they found 5 million berries. And like when they said we found 5 million berries, like Usopp straight sweated for like an entire like a scene. Like before he was thinking about what was going on, he's like, "They had 5 million berries? Like, who are these people? Like, that's not really that much in the grand scheme of
it's a small town. But for a tiny little dinghy boat.
Yeah, it'd be like $50,000, which is a lot of money. Yeah.
That's true. Okay, all right, fair. You randomly see that in like a rowboat. You're like, why?
I think that's what it is. It's a small boat. They're not a pirate crew. Like, they make it kind of clear in this moment that like when people in this world think of pirates, they think of these 100, 200, 300 massive people crews. Mm-hmm. And most of the pirates have, right? Buggy had a big crew. Kuro had a pretty big crew. Not as big as Buggy's from what I recall. But like every pirate we've seen has had a pretty big crew. Like even when we see Shanks's crew, like, you know, they only really show like the core handful that are near him. But like you see a lot of people in the background like carrying stuff under the boat.
It's at least a few dozen for Shanks. Right. Yeah.
So like Luffy and the Straw Hats, they're just kind of like an anomaly at this point.
Yeah,
like,
they are the weird ones. Yeah.
That's it. That's all it is.
I do want to point out, though, when it comes to the crew, and correct me if I'm wrong, Usopp's the only one so far to ask to join, because Luffy's always like, "Join my crew."
Yeah, I think Usopp's the first one to ask. Yeah.
You just reminded me. I forgot to mention this with the Gaimon thing.
Luffy even asked Gaimon too, didn't he?
No, that's the thing. He doesn't ask Gaimon to join the crew. He just says, "Hey, come help us find the One Piece." He doesn't specifically say, "Join my crew." But he does with everybody else that joins, and that's why I don't know. I just kind of saw that and was like a small detail, and now I kind of want to check, like, as we make our way down and see future people that he talks to that maybe don't join. I want to see if it's a similar thing, like if he
maybe it's just a thing that Oda just wants to use it only for crew members. He doesn't want it to, like, you know. Yeah. How did you feel about Kuro's like plan? I find he's a very interesting character because it's like, he's a pirate, and he's like, "I don't like being a pirate, so I'm going to go and be a butler and have like a, you know, regular kind of life." And he's like, "I'm sick of this. I'm going to try to like kill Kaya and take all of her money now." It's just like, dude, what do you want in life? You know, like, what are you doing?
Kuro's plan reminded me of those people who like love to hear themselves talk and they'll just ramble on about bullshit, right? Because literally this man could have, like, he's talking about how much money he made from like the raids and how they had to continue to do them. Mm-hmm. He could have just taken that money and did the Captain Morgan and just left.
That's my thing. Cut your hair, take the coat off. Nobody will know who you are. I mean, look, they literally took a random ass dude, threw him on the ship and was like, "There he is." He could have just, they didn't even know what he looked like.
Yeah.
Like he could have left.
That drove me nuts.
Yeah.
I think it's just the idea of like, He's a guy that wants the perks of being a pirate without the negatives of being chased by the Marines.
Right.
Yes, and exactly.
You just you can't have it both ways. You know, it's
I actually made a note of that. Everything that Kuro complained about being a pirate is what Luffy loves about being a pirate.
His favorite parts.
So like they were just more or less like the antithesis to each other the entire time.
Mm-hmm. He always just seems like Kuro's such a snob to me. He's just like, "Oh, these pirates and their droll attitude. I am better than them." Mm-hmm. You know, that kind of attitude. But
right. Like he just fell into the job as opposed to like, you know, choosing to do it. But
I'm like, you were a butler. You're probably making decent money. Kaya was not that bad of a person to work for, you know, just like whatever.
And you get to
live
in a mansion.
He was a butler for one person.
Mansion, dude.
Like, how is that?
You got to live in a mansion.
And
come
one
on.
Person who's bedridden. She doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah, she literally doesn't go anywhere. Easiest person you can have. Yep. Mm-hmm.
He's basically getting paid buku bucks for just being like a waiter at times.
All his
like,
flashbacks
hey, you hungry?
Were, here you go. From when her parents were alive. That's like when she'd go shopping and stuff. Oh.
Yeah. And it's and it was stated that he didn't have any part in her parents dying. I think that just happened. But it's like, dude, just save up your money. If you're not happy there, take all the money you made from the being a butler and being a pirate and just skip out and do something else.
Well,
then.
Where's
I don't
all
know.
His money going in the first place? He lives at her house.
I don't know.
You know he's not paying for his own
bitch,
food.
Bitch, you don't pay
either.
Rent?
Yeah, you know he's not paying for his own stuff. So where's the money he's going as a butler?
This is what I mean. Greed, he's right? such a complex character. Yeah, he's just into greed. Yeah, he's never happy with life. He needs like excitement, but he doesn't want to be a pirate. So it's like, oh, whatever.
I liked him and Django as antagonists. I liked a lot more than I remember. I think it's just like the other pirates on his crew were just kind of meh. But like him and Django, I thought were like honestly really good.
Yeah, Django was great. Yeah,
I mean, if him and Django can fake Captain Kuro's death, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they made that in a way kind of seem simple.
Mm-hmm.
How many other pirates do we know of that? I wonder.
Probably.
How many others that have snuck past the Marines in a way like that to reduce their
none. They're the only ones. Fun fact.
The only ones ever.
Yeah.
And then did you guys notice Luffy just keeps hammering home the musician thing? And I love that.
Yes.
Because it's so Luffy to be like, it's not a necessity, but I want it. But I just find it funny how determined he is, especially with that much he
likes
food.
He's like a kid when it comes to that. And he's like, listen, guys, we need a musician at some point. Come on. You know,
he likes the parties. I think that's Luffy's favorite parties, the banquets, the getting to eat tons of food and getting to just have fun and just enjoy being free and being a pirate.
I mean, there was a moment where what was it? They were at was it Kaya's place, or they were somewhere in town, and they were talking about the pirates attacking, and like Luffy's like reaction is, "Well, I got to go get meat before the butcher leaves."
Yeah. I mean, that's just Luffy. Like that just it involved food. I mean, all logic goes out the window.
It's funny you guys talk about that because I'm at the banquet scene with the arc I'm in right now. Mm-hmm. And you were talking about Zoro with Grog, and they were talking about how they don't want to be heroes because Zoro was like, you have to share sake if you're a hero.
Yeah.
I don't want to share my
food. Yeah.
And Luffy's like, I don't want to share my food. Yeah. Like, we're not heroes.
That's the most forward thinking Luffy's ever had. Wait a second. If there's a pirate attacking, the butcher's probably going to leave. Okay, I got to get there before he hears about this, you know?
And Oda said he's dumb.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right?
And then you have, like, the closing out the arc, right? They defeat the Kuro pirates, the Black Cat pirates. They defeat them. They save the day. They scare them off, and they get the obviously the Merry. We get Usopp's backstory, with Yasopp leaving the day before his mom dies. So I can only imagine how hard that would be to lose both your parents within a 24-hour span.
I mean, I think that's in the manga because in the anime, I think I always assumed it was Yasopp leaves, then Bonshina gets sick, and then she dies like months
that's
later.
What I think.
In the manga, I guess it was way more specific. That's crazy.
I think that's why I like wondered like when I reread it, I was like, oh, is that why he left? And I was like, maybe. Mm. I mean, it makes more sense in the manga compared to the anime, but I mean, hey, they changed it.
The little stuff like that you try to line up too, and like it takes you back to the anime a little bit more, and it makes it a little tougher.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but it does put things in perspective at least.
Mm-hmm. They get the Merry. Luffy goes through. He starts testing out the cannonballs. We absolutely terrible, but then you kind of see Usopp's sniper skills, which I liked.
Yep.
You know, obviously we saw it throughout the arc, but it's kind of that first time of showing Luffy, like, look, I'm good at this. And then Johnny and Yozaku showing up, literally being saved just by some lime juice. Literally nothing. Yep. Just like,
oh, before that though, Usopp is also an accomplished painter, and he paints the proper Jolly Roger of the there you go.
I love that we also get his Jolly Roger, which I loved.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, I'm the captain, right? All right, well, it was worth a shot. And then this thing too, and I don't know if this was not in the anime or if it was, or if I just didn't notice, was Johnny tells them about the cook, but then they also specify and mention that Mihawk goes to that restaurant, which then makes me wonder, the what happens in the future, is it just a coincidence that they're just kind of passing each other?
There are no coincidences.
I think it was like something like he mentions, like there's a guy that goes to the restaurant that looks like Hawkeye. And it turns out that it wasn't him, but then anyway, there you go.
Yeah. Oh, so it was just, oh, that is funny.
Yeah, maybe it's supposed to be a coincidence, but it's really funny. Yeah.
It's like someone's posing as me. It's time to whoop ass.
Yeah.
and then it just kind of closes out from there. We get the final little buggy adventure. He lands on Animal Island to kind of tie up the arc nicely, which I liked. It was like a fun little nod there.
Other side note, Django gets left on the island.
What? Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He gets defeated in the woods, and they don't show him going with the crew. I wonder if that will be relevant later. I don't know.
I never thought about that. Wow. He just got left out in the woods.
He was out in the woods. They were all down at the cove, and then Luffy chucks Kuro on the boat, and they get out of there. Yeah.
So I know that we are obviously, you know, was it three arcs in? We had the Orange Town, we had Romance Dawn, and then we had Syrup Village. The first three arcs, we're getting into some of the meat and potatoes in the next few arcs, which is going to be exciting. Obviously, we have the Baratie arc coming next, which will be chapters 42 to 68 compared to that. If you guys are going to read along for the next time, and if you're not caught up, just as kind of your warning, we're going to migrate into a little bit of spoilery territory. Obviously, Boom has not completed Fishman Island, so if you are caught up to Fishman Island, you're good. If at any point I yell at Boom to rip his headphones off of his head, then you know to also rip your headphones off of your head if you are not past that point.
I got these.
Or if he just tells Sione just to shut up, that too.
Exactly. So there's your spoiler warning for this next little segment. But... And I just left my head. I had an idea, and I forgot. I don't know. Doesn't matter. Rate us 5 stars on iTunes. That'd be pretty dope. We'd appreciate that. And check out the YouTube channel if you want to watch the video, because I forgot what I was going to say, because my brain breaks sometimes. So, what would you guys say out of the first three arcs? Romance Dawn, Orange Town, Syrup Village. What is your favorite?
So far, I'd have to say Romance Dawn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I would agree.
Yeah, it's the Shanks like exchange. It's that stuff. The Lucky Roo. Like, you know, I love that panel.
I know. It's such a good scene.
I'm just gonna go Syrup Village.
Okay,
really?
I'm not hating on the Shanks. I respect it. Okay, and I respect that everyone's leaning towards it. But to me, like the whole storyline arc with Usopp and everything. Like, I don't know. It hits different for me.
I feel like Syrup Village. So, you know, when we read the first arc, like Kobe very much felt like he was a character that was supposed to show off the personalities of Luffy and Zoro. Mm-hmm. Whereas Syrup Village very much was trying to, I feel like, sell you Usopp to join.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I feel like that was more about an introduction. Like, Kobe didn't feel like an introduction. He felt like just a viewer perspective of like who these people are.
Somebody needed to be there to hang out with Luffy for the first.
Yeah, exactly. And Syrup Village very much felt like an advertisement for Usopp. And I will say, like, Oda does this like really fantastic job of having like one specific panel of showing how good the person is at their skill. Like, I think it was like when the pirates first attacked, and like he was using his slingshot as like being a sniper or whatever, right? And he was like jumping, like going through the side, like through the air, like shooting the slingshot, and it's like, damn, okay, he actually like dude has skills, right? He has the ability to do this.
I also almost forgot we were gonna go through it, but I forgot that we do this little segment. The difference between the manga and the anime differences. I know we talked about the Gaimon change. The fact that Usopp shot at them in the anime compared to the manga, Kaya's room. Right here we have like father, like son. In the manga, after learning that Usopp's father's a pirate, Luffy eventually figures it out and tells Usopp that he knew that Yasopp is Usopp's father just before the encounter with Django and Kuro. In the anime, Luffy knew right away that they were related. And it says, while the anime mentions that Yasopp has a son during the Romance story Dawn storyline, the manga first reveals it in this story arc. So they just changed kind of the
over.
Like you said boom that in the anime Luffy catches the chakram with his teeth. In the anime, it just domes the back of his head, which is glorious. Tom and Onion, they changed his clothes. He's wearing normal clothes in the anime, and the manga he's wearing PJs.
I don't remember seeing that Onion scene either at the end either. Like at the anime, like when he goes home and his mom's just like, "You broke your glasses again?"
Yeah, I don't remember that at all in the anime. Yeah,
yeah, I don't remember that. Huh. In the, like that whole like little scene right there, I was like, "Oh man!" Like they showed him getting yelled at by his parents right now.
Yeah,
who saved the whole damn village? Oh, I wanted to bring that up as well. Where it's like, correct me if I'm wrong, for real. In the manga, like they treated Usopp's like whole like you know, the boy who cried wolf, like they treated that whole thing like the town treated it like their alarm clock, like they looked forward to it every day. Whereas in like the manga, it actually seemed like it really pissed people off and they were, you know, kind of chasing with pitchforks.
Yeah. But
then the end is they do have that. He's like, "Oh, I don't have the motivation to go." Like, where's Usopp? Like, they're all questioning it. And it's like, you could tell that like he annoyed them, but they cared about him.
The townspeople seemed way nicer in the manga than they did in the anime.
I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, they were the ones that basically raised him because, you know, his parents both, you know, Usopp left and Bonshina died when he was like, I don't know, like 7 or 8 years old or something. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to point out the absolutely ridiculous size of the backpacks in this world.
Oh, I love it. It never changes. Entire house. Like,
how?
He's
like,
not going to need it anymore. It's fine.
True, but could you imagine if all that happened and Luffy was like, "Nah, you're not on my crew. I need a musician and a cook. I don't need you." And he's like, "Well,
he could just live in the backpack."
Yeah, honestly, you could.
House is in there.
So the other small changes was in the manga where the boys, the little Usopp pirates, when they notice Kaya walking and they're like, "Oh, Usopp must have been telling the truth." In the anime, they try to literally break into the mansion.
Of course.
And then they see her leave and then they put it together. In the manga for Kaya's entrance, she shouts Kuro's name to get his attention, where in the anime, she kind of just sneaks up on him and he doesn't realize it. And he almost attacks her because of it. But Usopp shoves her out of the way. So there's a slight differences there. Kind of in the manga, Kaya kind of like stood up to him, where in the anime, you could tell she really didn't do that as much. And then attacking him in the manga after Kuro takes Kaya's pistol and declares that he never truly cared for her well-being, Usopp attempts to punch him. But in the anime, Usopp picks up Kaya's pistol and attempts to shoot Kuro with it.
Oh, so just as a side note, that pistol was changed to a slingshot in the 4Kids dub. I remember that.
That's why that. Okay, I was wondering that. I was like, I don't remember her.
Miss Kaya, please put down that slingshot. You don't know what you're doing. You know?
I've seen a few episodes. I need to finish the 4Kids dub just because it's just so ridiculous. Like, but I want But I'm not going in with and like it's not like my first time watching One Piece. I want to go in to watch. Like I just want to go in and laugh about it and
it's
just
hilarious.
Enjoy it.
Yeah.
So going through it, I know there's some stuff that I want to talk about future-wise in a little bit that we're going to have to earmuff Boom for. Do you guys have any other tie-ins? Because I feel like there's one specific arc I that rung a bell that I want to address, but I can't think of anything prior to that, like prior to Fishman Island, that this really ties into. I feel like this was kind of a less tie-ins than the last two.
Well, I mean, there's some of Usopp's lies that tie in later. Yeah. Like, so that'll be the giant goldfish. Can I talk about that now?
Yes. Yeah. We're spoiling.
Yeah.
We're
good. Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. So the giant goldfish, they run across that as the island eater after Little Garden. And then the mole is Miss Merry Christmas and Alabasta. But the other one will be, I don't know if that'll happen or not.
Yeah. Yeah. The other one we'll have to wait and see.
I never thought about it like that. Wow.
Usopp, that's the biggest thing is that Usopp's like, that's pretty much the big thing is that all of Usopp's lies come true.
Yeah.
Usopp, if I'm not mistaken, almost every one. There might be a few that haven't, but they just haven't yet.
I would love if his power, like unknown power, is like some sort of weird Nostradamus effect or whatever. Like, that would be so cool, man, where like.
The general vibe is, you know, he's telling Kaya all these lies, but when, you know, when they find the One Piece and they become great pirates, he returns to the village, you know, I've actually done
all
these things.
You
know? Yeah.
He can kind of step up and do that.
Yeah.
Boom, Sione, do you guys have any other tie-ins to future arcs?
I mean, that's if Jango doesn't take over that village.
Oh, there was the, you mentioned it earlier, the his ability, the running fast ability, so that's a That's a precursor to Soru, which is the technique that the Cypherpool agents use.
Okay. And, that makes sense. Okay.
And somebody even asked Oda about that in SBS once, like, is that the same thing? And Oda's like, yeah, it's an imperfected version because Kuro could not see where he was going with the technique. He was just moving really fast. But when a CP9 agent, they can actually see what they're going. Also, Gomu Gomu no Spear, Luffy uses that in Gear Second against Blue Uno, Jet
That's
Spear.
That's what it was. Yeah. Okay. There you go. I don't know what it was. Like, I saw that attack and I just could not remember. I was like, I don't know if it's just been a while, but I just didn't remember if that was actually there.
We pulled out Bell as well, and he usually only does that as like almost a finishing move.
Because he actually uses that in Fishman Island with Haki on his head when he hits one of the
He used it on Hody, but I think he also used it on Enel. And
yeah, he did. Yes.
Yeah. So like he really just kind of pulls that one out like last resort kind of thing. So
a lot of it is situational with Luffy.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
I feel.
I'm trying to think of anything, but really, like, it was like the callback to the banquet of Fishman Island where they were talking about not wanting to be heroes and not wanting to share food, and it literally like goes back to that conversation they were having in the fucking boat. Like in Syrup Village, right? So it's like I love that, like, that's still just like a continuation of their character.
All right, boom. I need you to do me a favor. I need you to take
just
off
tap
your
me on the shoulder when you finish. Yeah.
Yeah, but just do me like cover them with your hands so you don't I'm about to yell. God Usopp. I just wanted to yell that. I'm so it's just I love the tie-ins and just seeing I can't tell if he's.
I'm not. I'm just doing this to mess with Boom.
I just loved seeing, like, and I think that's why this arc affected me as much is more just Usopp did it, right? Like, he became a brave warrior of the sea. He fucking nails his thing, and I love it. And Boom needs to hurry up and finish Dressrosa.
He is like truly like his whole dream is I want to be a brave warrior of the sea. I would say he's pretty much achieved that.
Yeah,
like,
I think it's
you
fair
know,
to say.
I think even before Dressrosa, he's achieved that. Mm-hmm. But like, yeah, here we are right now in the story. Mm-hmm. He's that.
I agree.
Yeah, Sop would be proud.
All right. Sorry, I had to get that off my chest.
Okay. Yeah, you seem enthused. So
I am. That is true. So real quick, let's just rattle off.
I want you to put a pin in that, and when I catch up to whatever
we will.
It's coming. It's coming.
Don't you worry. So let's read one of our 5-star reviews. Again, thank you. You guys can rate us either on iTunes or on Spotify. I'm supposed to do this at the start of the episode, but I suck and I forgot. So 5-star review, title rough, rewatch episode 3 of One Piece. Just trust. P.S. Sorry for the 1-star rating. It was an accident. This is from Killua Best. This is the guy that accidentally gave us a massive paragraph on our other anime podcast and it rated us 1-star, and I yelled at him. So he corrected it and he gave us a 5-star.
Thank you for fixing that.
As you should.
Like, is this a Karen or something? Like a giant complaint, 1-star. You know?
It was like, yeah, and that's what we thought. It was like just endless praise, 1-star. I was like, what are you doing? Stop. But thank you so much for rating that. Remember,
like
we
the
are
Amazon
available.
Reviews, 3 stars, loved it.
Exactly. We're available on everywhere you get podcast services. So if you prefer audio to the video, you get us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio. It's everywhere. Just search it. We're on websites I don't even know because Anchor just kind of posts it everywhere. If you want the video, youtube.com/90anime will be posting the Manga Bros stuff over there. And remember that we all do our own individual channels. I do react stuff on my main channel, Rough Senpai. I also do Minecraft anime stuff. Just released a One Piece Minecraft video, so go check that out if you want. All links will be in the description box below. Sione took a break from One Piece, but he's going to be starting it soon now that I've caught up to him again.
About time. Only took you like 2 months. Yeah.
So go check out his channel. Boom, currently in Fishman Island, if you want to see Boom's journey. And then Tekking, the man that probably needs no introduction, but if by some weird reason you don't know who he is and you're a One Piece fan, his link will be in their description too. But be careful. Yep. If you're not caught up to the manga, you gotta
We're talking, we're coasting, you know, footloose and fancy free here up to chapter 1050 now. So be forewarned. By the way, 2 months, that's a pretty good rate because there's so much. It took me forever to get through One Piece.
I mean, Rob hasn't been burning through them. Okay, I will say, like,
yeah, that's pretty good.
It was supposed to be a longer timeline.
It's an existential dilemma because I'm like, I want to watch like 10 episodes a day, but then I'm getting like,
I've run into people
that
have.
That.
that have told me, like, I've read all of the One Piece manga in a week. And I'm like,
I don't understand.
How do you sleep? Like, yeah, I don't get it.
Like, I was like,
what information
did
you retain?
Like, exactly, yeah.
I do a lot sometimes, but that's something I can't even do. Like, I've lasted through the arc after Dressrosa real quick. But there's people that are like, I do 40 episodes in a week, 50 episodes. How do you do that?
I get burned out on manga really fast. If I start like 30, 40 chapters max, and then I can't, for a few days, I got to take a break. Yeah,
I can totally see that. Well, I hope you all enjoyed this episode of the One Piece Manga Bros podcast. Click the like button, subscribe, do the things, and we will see you next time for the Baratie arc. Again, that arc, if you want to read along with us or watch along with us, is 27 chapters, chapter 42 to 68, or 12 episodes, episode 19 to 30, if you want to join us for that. And remember, if you want more guests, let us know in the process. I believe Rogers Base is joining us for Arlong Park.
Ooh. Good. Yeah.
Or it might be Baratie. I don't remember which one. I'll have to double check. But thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time.
Yep. Bye.
Enjoy.